All right. Thank you very much, and thanks for sticking through this and joining us here on this last session of the afternoon. My name is Brian Krug. I work for DuPont Pioneer, and my talk is entitled "Transient Low Light Stress and the Effect of Tassel Quality on Maize Grown in Controlled Environment." So, first off, I just want to approach the subject of why I'm talking about growing corn at the American Horticulture Society meeting. And I want to give you a little bit of background on what we do or what I'm involved with at Pioneer. This is an aerial shot of our facility in Johnston, Iowa. We have about 4.5 acres of greenhouses and about 50 growth chambers. Most of those are walk-in growth chambers where we can grow corn or soybeans all the way to maturity. So even though we're working on agronomic crops, we're all the principles of horticulture production, greenhouse production, are what goes into growing these crops in the greenhouse. Everything that we do that I'm involved in on a day-to-day basis is horticulture practices. A little bit more background, since most of you probably are not as familiar with growing corn. What we do at Pioneer at controlled environments, we grow over 15 genotypes of corn in our greenhouse. And we do that year-round production. And we go seed to seed in our facility. We have to pollinate those corn plants by hand, harvest them by hand. Again, very intensive, all using horticultural practices. One thing that we've encountered while we're growing corn in the greenhouse is because corn is such a high-light crop, and the amount of light that we get in Iowa in the wintertime is pretty low, we have what I'm showing here is what we call barren tassel in the winter. The picture on the left is a normal tassel that we would see in the summertime, and that's the male part of the plant where the pollen comes from. And the right-hand picture is a very typical tassel that we see in the wintertime. And you can see there's not as well branched, not as large, and there's certainly not as many parts of that tassel that has active pollen shed on there. So, talking about corn in the greenhouse, as with any other plants, we have these five main inputs that go into growing the plant: light, gases, temperature, nutrients, and water. We're able to control the nutrients and water very tightly, as well as with the temperature. We're not overly worried about the amount of carbon dioxide, as it's a C4 plant. So one of the biggest limiting factors of growing corn in the greenhouse, particularly in Iowa, is light. So when we saw those barren tassels, that's where we really started looking at the cause of that barren tassel phenotype coming from is due to the low amount of light. When we look at light over the United States in terms of DLI, these maps from Clemson, it shows us the amount of relative DLI that we get throughout the seasons. And really from a high point outside, we're getting about 44 moles of light during the day in July, all the way down to 12 moles of light in December. So that's a really large swing of the amount of light available, and that's outside the greenhouse before we go through any of the glazing. If we look at this over a 4-year average in Johnston, these are actual measurements that we've taken over the course of 4 years in the greenhouse. The bars on the bottom is what is actually reaching the crop in the greenhouse. Those are the green bars. The blue bars is what we supply for the greenhouse with supplemental light. All of our greenhouses have high-pressure sodium lights as well as metal halide lights, and we run those almost 16 hours a day, 365 days a year. We're looking for a target of at least 20 moles of light for corn to have a normal growth phenotype. And as you can see, there's only 3 months out of the year that we get that naturally in the greenhouse, June, July, and August. And every other month we fall short, And even when we're growing under our artificial light, in January and in November and December, we're not reaching that limit there. And that's the time of the year when we really see that phenotype of the barren tassel. So again, there's our barren tassels to set up our problem. What we tried to do for this is identify the effect of short-term low DLI stress on tassel morphology. And we felt that the low DLI stress during specific developmental stages in corn increases tassel barrenness. And to give you an idea of how we look at corn development, it's a readily used terminology of V stage, and that's each stage is the number of leaves that are fully expanded on the corn plant. So here's just a few of the V stages, V3 through V11, and then VT is when we see that visible tassel. It takes about around 5 to 7 days, depending on the time of the year, to unfold one leaf. And tassel development typically happens somewhere between V5 and V7, even though that plant is relatively small and, a month out from actually seeing the tassel appear. So in this experiment, we tested two of our major inbreds that we use in the greenhouse. We had a 16-hour day-night photo period. During the day, we had 29 degrees Celsius. At night, 21 degrees Celsius. Vapor pressure deficit, we ran at 1.4 kilopascals during the day and 0.87 kilopascals at night. Relative humidity at 65%. And then our major treatments here is we're targeting 550 micromoles per meter squared per second, and that's what we would typically see during the summertime, around 23 moles of light. That gets us above our threshold that we know that we need to get to. And then 210 micromoles per meter squared per second was our wintertime treatment, which is down to 9.3 moles per day. We applied this treatment for a 7-day period at different V stages. So you can see here on this chart that at V4, the plants received a subset of the plants received this low light treatment in a growth chamber, and then after 7 days were moved back into the high light chamber to extend this for the treatment. And this is trying to mimic those stretches of cloudy days that we see in the wintertime. Where we have very low cloudy days for up to a week at a time. We did a lot of data collection, but the only things I'm going to touch on today are things that involve the tassel morphology, tassel length, viable tassel length, barren tassel length, and tassel branch number. So to kind of walk you through how we took that data, we took a digital photo of each tassel, and then used the software Assess to measure the length and count the branches. So tassel length, we counted from the lowest branch of the tassel up to the very top of the tassel. Viable tassel length, we looked at each individual branch and measured the amount of tassel that has anthers on it. And then for barren tassel, we measured the part of the tassel that do not have anthers on them. And then obviously branch number is just counting the number of branches. So we look at our traits, height, branch, branch number, viable length, and barren length on inbred A. We saw that we had a significant effect on both branch, viable length, and barren length. And most notably, we saw this at V6. The most important thing that we're looking at is the barren length. And at V7 for this genotype is where we saw the largest amount of barren length. In inbred B, we saw significant differences among all these different traits. And again, with our barren tassel length, V6 in inbred B was what had the most significant length of barren tassel length. So, as I said, we had shorter tassel length and shorter viable tassel length in both genotypes. At V4 for genotype A, 26% shorter, and V7, 24% shorter. And then genotype B, 46% shorter at V6 and 41% shorter at V7. So to summarize it, we were able to determine that low light stress was indeed what was causing our poor tassels in the wintertime, and it was very dependent on developmental stage. So for the most part, anywhere between V4 and V6 or V7, depending on our genotype, so there was a genotype significance there that we need to be paying attention to how much light we're getting when those plants are at that those stages. We need to do a lot more work here. We did not look at pollen quantity or pollen quality, so that certainly could be playing a role in it too, not just the amount of anthers that are present on the tassels. We need to look at more photoperiods to see how the if we lengthen those photoperiods, if that has an effect on mitigating that. Like I said, we have over 15 genotypes, and we only did two. So we need to do much more work to understand all those different genotypes that we're growing. And it's pretty unlikely that we only get 7 days of stress, and that's it during those times in the winter. So we need to follow this up and look at if we have more of a cumulative effect over time if that causes this barren tassel phenotype as well. And then finally, the real key is how do we mitigate this? How do we find ways to mitigate the stress? The obvious answer is add more light, but it's not always the most economically feasible thing to just go in and add a whole bunch of lights when we already have a full array of lights in our greenhouses, and we're already getting, you know, upwards of 10 moles of light from our supplemental light per day. So how can we manage this so that we can increase our light in other ways? Just to finish up, I want to thank Libby Trecker. She's the one who did all this work and put this presentation together as a part of her master's thesis at Iowa State University. I want to thank Jonathan France, my boss, who's allowed her to do all this work. And then Dr. Curry and Dr. Fay, who was on Libby's master's committee, and helped us with this experiment. So with that, I'll leave you with a nice photo of one of our greenhouses at the facility where we do all our production, and open it up to any questions. So the question was how many days there are between like V4 to V5, V5 to V6. It's really temperature dependent. In the wintertime, it can be 5 to 7 days between each V stage. In the summertime, it can be as few as 3 or 4 days between the different V stages. In the wintertime, probably not, and that's, well, in the summertime, it is possible where we have really high light, but then we might have a stretch of cloudy days that we're above that threshold. In the wintertime, it's probably a little less likely that we have that big of a drop from one to the other. So this is our first really stab at going into this study, so we wanted to start somewhere. So we definitely can narrow that down and try to see how many days it takes for it to cause any stress. Thank you.